Welcome to Base by Base, a papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Imagine for a moment a future where we could precisely predict how our body's elite immune cell T cells identify and eliminate threats like viruses or even rogue cancer cells. Think about the profound impact this would have on medicine. I mean, revolutionary new vaccines, highly personalized cancer immunotherapies, maybe even novel treatments for complex autoimmune conditions. This isn't just hypothetical. Actually, deciphering this T-cell receptor epitope interaction was spotlighted as one of the 9 cancer grand challenges just last year. So it's a pretty big deal. Now, the traditional way of discovering these T-cell receptor epitope pairs, it's painstakingly slow, expensive, often needing a specific starting point. But what if we could predict these intricate interactions using advanced computer models, entirely in silico? This deep dive explores a groundbreaking new study that set out to rigorously evaluate how well these digital predictors actually perform. Are they the accelerated shortcut to a healthier future we've envisioned? Or, well, are there significant limitations we really need to understand? Today, we're highlighting the crucial work of Felix Drost and Benjamin Schubert, along with their dedicated team at Helmholtz Munich and their collaborators. Their research, it really significantly advances our understanding of T-cell receptor epitope prediction.
Yeah, and to really grasp the importance of this, let's maybe establish why T-cell receptor specificity is so vital. We know T-cells are fundamental to our adaptive immune system. They recognize disease cells could be infected, could be cancerous through their T-cell receptors, or TCRs. These TCRs bind to specific fragments of antigens called epitopes, which are presented by the major histocompatibility complex, or MHC.
Okay, so understanding this precise TCR epitope binding, that's absolutely critical for, well, pretty much everything from designing effective vaccines to developing targeted immunotherapies for cancer or even managing autoimmune conditions.
Precisely. And while, you know, experimental methods for finding these TCR epitope pairs exist, they're often really time-consuming and frankly expensive. This is where in silico prediction methods step in. They offer the promise of identifying these antigen-specific TCR candidates much more efficiently.
And we've definitely seen a lot of conceptual progress in this area over the past few years, right? It feels like there's been a buzz.
Absolutely, there has. Early foundational work like that from Dash and Glanville, it hinted that the TCR sequences themselves could carry clues about epitope specificity. This insight really fueled the development of various computational approaches. They started with, say, simple string comparisons and evolved into these quite sophisticated deep learning models. But here's the critical point. Many of these methods heavily depend on large existing databases of known TCR epitope pairs, you know, things like IEDB, VDJDB, or MCPS-TCR.
So what happens then when we encounter truly novel epitopes, like from an entirely new virus we haven't seen, or a unique cancer mutation that's, well, never been documented before?
That's exactly it. That's a major unresolved challenge. Some computational models are what we call categorical, meaning they're specifically trained for and really only work effectively on epitopes they've previously encountered in training. Others are general. They're designed to predict interactions with unknown epitopes, but this generalization capability, it can sometimes come at a cost to their predictive accuracy. They might not be as sharp.
Okay, so with this proliferation of different methods, all these tools popping up, how do researchers confidently choose which one to rely on? You know, what are their actual real-world capabilities and, importantly, their limitations?
That's the core problem this paper really tackles head-on. Until now, there just hasn't been a standardized comparative evaluation of these publicly available models across a diverse set of sort of real-world scenarios. And adding to the complexity, these tools often use their own custom, often incompatible data formats. This makes them quite cumbersome for researchers to actually implement and compare side by side.
Right. That sounds like a practical nightmare. So to tackle this gap, what specific steps did the researchers take? What did they build?
They developed a new tool called Epitope TCR. Now, it's actually an extension of an existing immune prediction framework, Epitope. And it functions as this unified platform designed to simplify access to and comparison of various T-cell receptor epitope predictors.
A unified platform. That sounds like a significant leap forward in just usability. What makes it so unified? How does that work?
Well, they integrated 21 different pre-trained TCR epitope prediction models, 18 general ones, and 3 categorical, all into one interoperable framework. This means it can seamlessly process TCR repertoire data from 6 common formats, including, you know, industry standards like the AIR-R standard or Cell Ranger VDJ output. The unification is really all about making these powerful computational tools far more accessible and practicable for researchers to actually use. Less hassle.
Okay, got it. And with this platform in place, they then rigorously tested these predictors against real-world biological challenges, put them through their paces.
Exactly. They used epitope TCR to evaluate these models on 2 distinct and quite challenging benchmark data sets.
Tell us more about those data sets. What were they like?
Okay, so the first one involved viral epitopes. They simulated the annotation of a single-cell data set containing 638 TCRs. These were known to be specific to 14 different viral epitopes from common pathogens, think SARS-CoV-2, influenza, Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus, CMV, and these TCRs were associated with 5 different MHC alleles. Crucially, though, they meticulously ensured this dataset excluded any TCR epitope pairs already present in public databases.
That's key.
Absolutely vital to prevent data leakage, you know, and ensure a truly unbiased test of how well these models generalize to unseen data.
Makes sense. And the second challenge they posed to the models, what was that focused on?
This one focused on epitope mutations. They used 2 deep mutational epitope scans. Now imagine systematically altering almost every single amino acid in an epitope and then observing how a T cell's reactivity changes. It's very detailed. This data set included 6 specific TCRs tested against 132 mutations of a cancer neoepitope and 172 mutations of a human CMV epitope. This particular test was designed to really push the model's sensitivity, see how well they handle subtle changes in the epitope sequence.
Wow, okay. So when evaluating performance across these tough challenges, what kind of metrics did they actually use to determine success or failure?
They employed a really comprehensive suite of metrics to scrutinize performance from different angles. For classification, basically, telling binders from non-binders, they looked at area under the curve or AUC, you know, where 0.5 is just random chance and 1.0 is perfect prediction. And also F1 score, which balances precision and recall, important for imbalanced data.
Okay.
Then for ranking, which is about how well a model can prioritize or, you know, find the correct epitope within a list of possibilities, they use recall at K, and average rank. And finally, to assess whether the predicted score is actually correlated with real T cell activation levels, like how strongly the T cell responds, they use Pearson and Spearman correlation coefficients. And importantly, they specifically focused on per epitope or per TCR metrics, not just overall averages, because that's crucial for uncovering these nuanced performance differences.
Right. Averages can hide a lot. Okay, so after all these rigorous tests, these challenging data sets, what were the big reveals about these predictors? What did they actually discover?
Well, the results offered a, let's say, stark but really important picture. For that viral epitope dataset, the overall average performance for classification and ranking was, frankly, quite low. For example, the best performing general method, which was mixed TCR pred, it achieved an average AUC of only about 0.63.
Not much better than random.
Exactly. Many methods were barely performing better than random chance, which is 0.5 AUC. Similarly, for recalling the correct epitope, so finding the right match, the top methods were only correct about 24-26% of the time. That's compared to just guessing randomly, which would get you about 7.1% correct in this setup.
Oof.
Yeah. So right off the bat, a crucial insight for anyone hoping to use these tools. Don't expect them to be magic bullets for every single situation. They aren't, at least not yet.
That overall performance sounds, well, underwhelming, especially given the hype and promise around these tools. But did they find any situations where the predictors did actually shine, where they're bright spots?
Yes, and this is where it gets really insightful. When they dug deeper, looking at individual epitopes, they found that predictors showed surprisingly strong performance. We're talking an AUC greater than 0.75 for 5 specific epitopes.
Okay, 5 out of
the 14 viral epitopes tested. And the common thread among these top performers, they were highly abundant, meaning there were 500 or more matching TCR sequences for them already logged in public databases. And they were often associated with a very well-studied MHC allele, HLA-AA02.01.
Okay. So it really sounds like the models perform well when they have a large amount of specific training data for a particular target. Is that a direct correlation they found?
Absolutely, a very strong correlation. They found the more CDR3 sequences, that's the key variable region of the TCR that engages the epitope, the more sequences available in public databases for a specific epitope, the better the prediction performance for that epitope. And this effect was even more pronounced if data for both the alpha and beta TCR chains were available. It strongly suggests the models are essentially learning patterns from this known data.
Right. And what about those less common epitopes, the ones without a big footprint in the databases?
For those, the predictors struggled significantly, often performing no better than random chance. This highlights a really clear bias. Current models excel where data is plentiful, but they falter pretty badly when it's scarce.
That's a critical limitation to be aware of. Now, what did they learn about the differences between those categorical models, the epitope-specific ones, and the general models that aim to predict more broadly?
Yeah, that was interesting too. For those abundant, well-represented targets, the categorical models actually performed on par with, or in some cases even slightly better than, the general models.
Really?
Yeah. Which suggests that the general models might not be fully leveraging sort of synergistic effects across different epitopes. Perhaps because they're trying to generalize too broadly, they lose some specificity for the well-known ones.
Interesting trade-off. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned some crucial biases in how the prediction scores themselves should be interpreted. What did the study reveal there? That sounds important for users.
It is. This is a critical detail. They found that the prediction scores generated by different models often weren't comparable between different epitopes. So a high score for epitope A didn't necessarily mean the same level of confidence or likelihood of binding as the exact same high score for epitope B.
Okay, so you can't just set one threshold.
Exactly. Some predictors consistently gave high scores to epitopes that were just very common in their training data, regardless of the specific TCR being tested, even if it wasn't actually a true binder in reality. This means you absolutely cannot just apply a single universal threshold score to interpret results across the board. You need to be much more careful, much more context aware.
Fascinating. And a bit tricky. So, shifting gears, What about the epitope mutation dataset? How did the models fare there? Especially thinking about the precision needed for things like personalized cancer vaccines.
This proved even more challenging for the current models. Overall, the performance was quite limited. The best AUC achieved was only around BBA.61.
Still not great.
Not great at all. And perhaps more concerning, when looking at predicting the degree of T cell activation in response to these mutated epitopes, not just yes-no binding, but how strong the response is, the correlation scores were very low. Often close to zero. The paper states it quite directly, and I think it's worth quoting. None of the methods so far is suitable for predicting the effect of point mutations in epitopes.
Wow. That's a pretty definitive statement about their current limitations in that area.
It is. It signals a major gap.
So it really sounds like for predicting the sort of nuance of how small changes in an epitope sequence impact the actual T cell response, these models are still very much in the early innings. Did they observe similar biases here as with the viral epitopes?
Yes, they did observe similar biases. For instance, models tended to predict higher binding probabilities for mutations of well-known epitopes, like the CMV one, compared to mutations of the neoepitope. This happened even if those neoepitope mutations actually resulted in higher T cell activation rates in the experiments. So again, it suggests the models are heavily influenced by the prevalence of the original epitopes in their training data, even when they're trying to predict the effect of entirely new mutations on those epitopes. That historical bias is strong.
Okay, so connecting all these findings now to the bigger picture, what does this actually mean for, say, researchers and clinicians working in immunology or cancer therapy today? What's the practical implication?
Well, I think it suggests that while in silico TCR epitope prediction is undoubtedly a powerful concept, its widespread, reliable application in day-to-day research or clinical settings has been held back. Held back by, one, a lack of interoperability between tools, and two, crucially, a lack of a clear, standardized understanding of their actual performance capabilities and limits in real-world use cases.
But this study, with their epitope TCR platform, certainly begins to bridge that gap, doesn't it? It provides some clarity.
Absolutely. By providing that unified interface and, importantly, a rigorous standardized benchmark, it makes these methods far more accessible. And it offers clear guidance. The key takeaway, I think, for users right now is that current predictors perform sufficiently well only for target epitopes that have large support, lots of data in publicly available databases. For those well-represented epitopes, they did observe strong performance like that AUC greater than 0.75 in 5 specific cases. That's genuinely useful.
So the message then, for you, our listeners, seems to be, use these powerful tools, definitely explore them, but do it with clear caution and a strong awareness of their specific limitations, especially regarding data abundance.
Precisely. apply these predictors, primarily, maybe even exclusively, for target epitopes that you know are demonstrably well covered in the model's training data. Check the databases first. And it's interesting, the increasing performance we see in newer models might, in part, just be attributed simply to the exponential growth in the amount of available TCR epitope data, rather than purely algorithmic breakthroughs.
That's a good point.
Which then raises that critical question again. What about predicting the effects of mutations? This is so crucial for areas like cancer, neoantigen discovery, or tracking viral evolution.
Yeah, the study was pretty stark on that front.
Indeed. It clearly highlights that current general TCR epitope predictors cannot reliably predict the effect of single amino acid changes in epitopes. Full stop. This points to a clear, almost urgent need for specialized data sets, maybe focused mutation data, and entirely new prediction models designed specifically for this challenging task. It's a current blind spot we need to address.
And that bias in the prediction scores you highlighted earlier, how should practitioners actually deal with that if you can't use one threshold?
Right, that's another critical practical point. Since the scores can vary so wildly between different target epitopes, depending on how well studied they are, you simply cannot use a single universal cutoff score to interpret binding. Instead, researchers will likely need to define epitope-specific classification thresholds. This definitely adds a layer of complexity to their experimental design and how they analyze the results. It's more work.
It really sounds like this paper isn't just about evaluating what the current tools can do, but it's also profoundly about how we should evaluate them, and just as importantly, how we should interpret their output critically.
Exactly. It emphasizes the absolute necessity of performing evaluations both within specific epitope classes, like how well does it work for this specific viral epitope, and across the entire dataset to get a truly holistic understanding. That's the only way to really understand a model's overall performance and uncover these important, sometimes subtle, but potentially misleading biases.
You know, what's fascinating here is how epitope TCR seems to serve this dual purpose. On one hand, it empowers the research community right now by making these methods more accessible and guiding their application. And on the other hand, it provides a standardized foundation data sets, metrics that can hopefully accelerate future method development. Gives everyone a common playing field.
That's the vision. Ultimately, the goal is that enhanced evaluation methods, better benchmarks, and improved interoperability will pave the way for TCR epitope predictors to find much broader, more confident, and more impactful use. You know, in large-scale immunological studies and next-generation vaccine development, and critically, in the identification of effective therapeutic TCR candidates for a whole range of diseases, from cancer to autoimmunity.
It's also important, as always, to acknowledge the study's own limitations, as they provide crucial context for where future work needs to go.
Yes, definitely. The authors are clear about this. Their evaluation primarily focused on CD8 plus T cells interacting with MHC class I epitopes, and mostly 9 more epitopes. So that naturally limits the scope of the included data and maybe the generalizability to, say, CD4 plus T cells or different epitope lengths. They also acknowledge they couldn't entirely rule out a small amount of falsely annotated TCRs potentially lurking in the public databases they use for benchmarking. That's always a risk. And they didn't retrain the models themselves, so it's challenging to precisely separate the influence of a model's underlying architecture or algorithm from the specific training data it happened to receive. An ideal future benchmark, perhaps, would include truly completely unobserved epitopes, ones with zero representation in current databases to test generalization to its absolute fullest extent.
Right. Ultimate test. Okay, so if you take one central message away from this deep dive today, it's probably this. Current computational tools for predicting T-cell receptor epitope binding are incredibly promising, a vital area of research, no doubt. But they are currently most effective, most reliable for well-studied epitopes where there's abundant training data already available. They still face significant challenges, particularly when attempting to predict the complex impact of novel mutations, which is so important for personalization.
Yeah, I think that's fair. This rigorous benchmark provides essential, very practical guidance for researchers choosing their tools today. And just as importantly, it lays critical groundwork, a foundation, for developing the next, hopefully more robust and less biased generation of these predictors tomorrow.
So the final thought perhaps is, what does this fundamental understanding, these current limitations and strengths, really mean for the future timeline of truly personalized immunotherapies? And maybe even for our ability to quickly respond to brand new pathogen variants as they inevitably emerge. Lots to think about there. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this analysis, the best way to support Base by Base is to subscribe or follow in your favorite podcast app and leave us a 5-star rating. It only takes a few seconds, but makes a huge difference in helping others discover the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science Base by Base.